Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Nunez hit a pinch hit three-run home run to open it up, make it 8-4. Red Sox win game one.
Well, the Mets have problems, Jim. That's on the air. Yelling at me, my head's in the front of the camera. Well, then open up with this camera.
Yeah, those checkers, huh?
Care.
Yeah, nice check shirt. Somebody got a new shirt. Wow.
It's a little new, yeah. Nice. Thank you.
What's up? How are we doing?
A little post-game one new blouse.
Jim, I don't even know what you just played. I'm sorry. I was just getting settled in, and I didn't have headphones on. Did you play anything there?
Yeah, the final out.
Oh.
Final out.
All right.
Kimbrel Smoke.
Kimbrel Smoke. You know, what's the point of talking about this series anymore? What's the point?
Yeah,
what's the point?
It's in the bag.
We should all just go home.
Sweep.
Stop talking about it. Stop talking about all the different things that have happened and all the different decisions that are made on a nightly basis.
Oh, I know why.
Let's just quit.
Yeah, maybe it's just their year.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
You knew it when JD rounded second and he like slipped.
There are listeners out there who are like, yes, yes.
thought he broke his ankle.
Sports on finally a good show.
Finally, they got someone in there who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. It's like when Martinez ran out second, he slips and then the ankle basically breaks and it's like pointing the other way. He gets up, walks it off, he's jogging, and everybody's chanting, JD. Oh, they healed him. He's good. Nothing to see here. He's fine. That's right then. That's when they won it.
They're done.
They're good.
He turned his ankle upside down. I didn't know that was possible.
It's like, ouch.
Literally, down was up, up was down. That is literally what happened to his ankle.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox again win last night, and they are on a tear.
Mm-mm.
And let's just all, resign ourselves. That's it. It's over. They should call it right now. They should call it today.
Beetle.
Say, Dodgers, you don't want no more of this, okay? And you know what? If I were them, I'd feel that way. After watching Eduardo Nunez step up to the plate, Nooney.
That guy.
and hit a home run like that last night. Three-run home run.
All evidence
first
points
pitch,
to that, of course.
Swinging from his ass. The ball's at his ankles, and he hits a home run. That's it. That's right through the heart, man.
It was beautiful. David Price is going tonight. Me cold.
Oh.
Numb and stingy.
Oh. Well, then hold on.
I mean, hold on. I'm just trying to prevent you from having to come in here tomorrow morning and say, hold up on that car wash, gentlemen.
Right. Oh, you know what, Hardy? You're right. Let's bring it all back now. Sorry. Got away from you a little bit there.
Yeah.
Got away from me a little bit. We'll get to David Price.
Okay.
We'll get to that. But wow, Alex Cora, anything the guy touches turns to gold.
Don't say that.
It's foolish.
Everybody's using that. Like Mike Greenberg and everybody. Everybody touches turns to gold.
I'm sorry. I won't say that. What other phrase would you like me to use?
We got to come up with something new. Like he's cash money, man. He's cash money, homie. Something different.
We
can't be like everybody.
Oh, that's good.
No, we can't be. How everything he touches, he's Midas. He's got
King,
the Midas touch.
King Midas.
He's freaking. He's.
Doesn't that take away from Cora saying that, though? It like takes away from all of his preparation just to be like, oh, any decision he makes is going to work.
No. What
preparation did he do that told him Nunez was going to hit a three-run home run last night?
Mm-mm.
On the first pitch he saw?
Everything's changed.
There's no preparation for that.
Everything's changed in baseball with this guy. He's adapted to the new. This makes the John Farrell era look that much more worse because I got a pitcher. My pitcher's supposed to go seven innings. Then they got a normal setup guy. Then he's got to get to the eighth inning guy, and he's got to get to the closer. And that's how we do it. That's what baseball is. No, because baseball's different now. You're sitting there. It hit me last night when I'm watching a game and you hear Joe Buck say, well, you know, the way Chris Sale's going here, he's got 70 pitches through three innings, and the best case scenario was they're trying to get five out of him tonight. Well, it's not going to be the case at this pace. And I'm like, what are we doing? Where's your number one? I thought this was Chris Sale versus, you know, the next big guy, the pitching matchups that you've had in the last three series where you're going up against this guy. And, you know, it's Kershaw versus Sale last night. And none of these guys can make it to the seventh inning anymore because it doesn't matter because baseball's different. This is why David Price is never going to opt out. He cashed in at the right time. Who the hell's going to offer $300 million to a guy that can't go six innings in big spots? Because really, this is the way the game's changed. You're using 7-8 pitchers now. That's what it is.
And that's part of Cora's decision.
And Cora's adapted.
To not start. He did not start Nunez knowing that he was going to need him late in the game.
And that's knowing your team.
He started Devers thinking, okay.
This is why he's so much better than John Farrell. And John Farrell ever was going to be.
He started Devers saying, I'm going to get a three-run pinch hit home run out of a guy like Eduardo Nunez.
But no, down, that's the
bull
guy I'm probably
crap.
All right, well, then his whole postgame is bull crap because he gave you the whole explanation of what he wanted to do postgame.
But I don't think
and he said, we thought Devers could handle Kershaw enough so that we could have a righty on the bench. We had to keep a righty on the bench because Pierce and Kinsler were both in the lineup. And we wanted to keep Nunez on the bench because he was a righty bat and they have a lefty out of the bullpen.
But it's not like he's a good righty. I get the theory behind it. Yeah,
as a hitter, he's good.
He's okay. He's okay. Now all of a sudden you're elevating what Nunez is.
All right, so this is what it comes down to. Are you saying that the whole whatever he touches turned to gold thing is just a nice way of saying he's so lucky?
He's lucky in some sense. He's lucky that home run was hit. He's lucky that it got broken open there. He is lucky that Eduardo Rodriguez went into the game and just gets it out and walks off the field like it was no big deal. I'm sorry. What's your level of confidence in that guy right now? What's his level of confidence in that guy right now? That's what I find so surprising. He's been kicking that guy to the curb for 3 weeks, and now he brings him in. Watch, when Pomeranz pitches, he's going to be perfect. Drew Pomeranz is going to come in.
Pomeranz could have went last night. He'd get three.
He's going to strike out the side whenever he gets into this thing. Wait.
Did last night's game make you rethink your thoughts on Pomeranz making the roster? Because it did mine. Watching the way this game's played out, they're going to need lefty out of the bullpen. They're going to need more than Rodriguez at times.
Again, but Drew Pomeranz sucks.
But can he get one batter out?
You sound like the statistical nerds that are making these decisions.
Listen,
you need a lefty. Yeah. Okay, like my 3-year-old's a lefty. Who qualifies? He stinks.
Party's kidding.
Like, just because you're a lefty doesn't mean you fit the bill of being good. Just because you're a right-handed bat doesn't mean you fit the bill of being a good player.
I think Pomeranz can go in and get one batter out. If you give him like five chances, he's going to allow a couple of hits and a walk and hit somebody.
He's up from 89-90 to 94-95 now in the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason he put him on the roster.
I'll believe it when I see it. Mm. So listen, this is not to take anything away from Alex Cora. He's been great. He's had an amazing postseason run. He's been terrific. But at some point, you've just got to recognize what you're watching. And that is when you start getting pinch hit, first pitch home runs from a guy like Eduardo Nunez, you say, you know what?
Second pitch.
On a bad pitch.
The second pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, bad pitch hitter.
He came inside on the first.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Like, first golfs it out.
First hittable pitch, we'll say. Right. All right. First hittable pitch. First hit that he could put the bat on.
Just make contact. It's going to go.
Yeah, sorry. And hit a home run like that. I mean, you've just got to okay. Feels like your year. Feels like this is.
What's game five?
Your year.
I think they win in five. I don't think they're going to sweep. I think LA is going to get one out there, but I think they'll win in five.
Game five is Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay. No, game five would be game seven.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. Excuse me.
Okay.
Six is Tuesday.
Right.
Won't be coming back.
Nah. Did you leave Ryan Brazier in too long last night?
That's our bitch.
That was the one thing that surprised me. That was the only time I felt comfortable all night when Brazzers was out there, and I'm like,
Brazzers.
Here we go. Now we can relax here for a few minutes. That surprised me that he was struggling.
But when you get things that are going this good, you forget all about that. Yeah. You're like, oh, no big deal. No big deal. Doesn't matter. Didn't matter by the end of the night because it feels like nothing is going to matter. None of the decisions he makes are going to screw this thing up. The players will screw it up. That's it. Tonight, if David Price sucks, nobody will blame Alex Cora for pitching him in game two. Nobody.
Even if he sucks, they're bringing somebody else in the third. They're going to pitch well for four innings, and then we're going to keep this thing rolling. That's all.
No, but he could leave him in too long tonight.
Yeah.
He could leave him in a spot where he say, oh, wait, he should have taken him out right there. He's learned.
I'm just telling you, people are going to blame him. They're going to blame David Price.
Now, he learned from the Yankee game. He's not going to leave this guy into where now all of a sudden you get down by four. That's not going to happen. He's going to get down by two, and then he's going to take him out.
And you're right. No one's going to blame
him. They're going to make it up.
If he has a bad start tonight, no one's going to blame Cora, because look what Price did in Game 5 in Houston. Of course you pitch David Price as your number two guy, no matter what the conditions. Yes, of course. He's the guy.
You remember Saturday last week? I also think two, right?
There's very little chance of him being left in too long. Who's been left in too long in this postseason? In any game, who's been left in? When has that been the mistake? You're 7-8 pitchers aside. I mean, you really have to melt down. Has there been somebody? It was Verlander, maybe.
Everything is debatable on that front. There was one Porcello
game, but it wasn't.
Yeah, one Porcello. Yeah, I mean,
I would have left him in. I thought that was the right call. Thought leaving Porcello in was the right call. Some people disagree with that, but again, that's a debate. There's no clear cut. There's no Pedro moment.
Of all the series, it was really
There's no Grady Little you left him
Yankees
in
leaving
long
Severino
long.
In too
Maybe
long.
Kimbrel that was... in that game, he pitched two innings. People would argue that.
But that's just it. I mean, like even the things that may not go his way, like had Nunez struck out last night. I thought, okay, I understood what he was doing there. It didn't work out because you don't expect somebody to get a home run in that circumstance. More often than not, you're going to strike out. That is kind of how the game works.
You'd like to, at some point, see Cora have to deal with a decision like, okay, we got a tight game in the eighth. The guy that I brought in prior to Kimbrel is not working out. There's two men on base.
I need
my closer to come in and get five outs. Can you do that?
You know, I don't think
we'll ever see that.
Bottom of the eighth inning last night is a situation where pretty much it's in hand, right? It's already 8-4.
8-4, you can go to bed.
And you think you might see the start of that inning. Start of that happening, you might see Christian Vasquez come into the game, or you might see someone pinch hit for Sandy Leon, who's coming up again for like the fourth time last night. You're like, what are we? Do we just stop managing the game? What does he do? Hits a single to center, ropes one to see. You're like, of course he did. No, you don't take the catcher out of the game. No, of course he gets a single.
And that was the hardest hit ball all day, maybe.
Roped that thing. And you're like, no, of course. Because this is the way the things are going for this manager and this team. Of course he did. Of course he got a single. Because they are crushing it. The Red Sox are just having such a great postseason run that I don't know that we should even think about talking about it, because that might get in the way. I'm not even sure we should do that. I'm nervous today just talking about it.
Should we do a couple segments on parade rooting? Just
maybe. We do have some mandated interruptions today. So that will help. Brad Stevens, Brad Friedel, got a couple of Brads.
Our last soccer interview. That's
sad. So there's a little bit to break it up.
We have a Patriots player calling in too, right?
And yep. Kyle Van Noy will hopefully call us.
It's definitely Van Noy.
So those are all mandated interruptions to the World Series, but man, oh man, do the Red Sox look like they're on their way. 8-4, they get the win last night. 617-779-0985. We'll talk more about it with you coming up next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I really don't care if they second guess me. You know, I prepare, we prepare as a group, and you make decisions, you know. And honestly, when I'm done here, I shower, I get on that car, I might get a text and say, go to the pharmacy and get some diapers for the kids. So, I mean, that's first guessing and second guessing over there. So, I mean, it's a game, man. I enjoy it. I know that we're in the spotlight here. Managers, there's a lot of shows now at night, and they're going to dissect every move. I was part of that, so I learned. Those 4 years working for ESPN taught me a lot, being around Buster and Timmy and all those guys. You know, I learned a lot, so I know it's going to sound bad, but I really don't care if they second guess me.
Last night, doesn't care that he's second guessed because he just tunes out all the noise, except for the occasional afternoon viewing of MLB Network when he, gets all pissy about Evan Roberts. Oh, he tunes it all out. He doesn't pay any attention. Come on. No one's buying that. 617-779-0985. Red Sox bats help out in a big way last night, scoring 8 runs for the Red Sox. They're 8-2 so far in the postseason. They're just going through it like a buzzsaw, man. Cutting through everybody. Do the Dodgers look like a good team? Anyone?
They did for 2 innings.
Anybody?
2 or 3 innings. I mean, it was a close game. Close game to get it going. Chris Sale looked like he was in control. I mean, he was putting the ball where he wanted to. You know, a lot of strikeouts to start the game. The big thing was, you know, top of your order got this thing going last night. And it's something they haven't done in a couple series.
What'd you make of Chris Sale? What'd you think?
I thought he was really good. And I thought he threw a lot of pitches through 3 innings. And, you know, the way Joe Buck was saying, you know, he's going to get out of here soon. You guys are on a text train saying, get somebody up. And, you know, this looks like trouble. He got out of some trouble early and kept that. They play with the lead. They play with the lead all night. I mean, Red Sox never trailed in this game. And I think that helps them. They need that again tonight with Price. I think you need it more with Price than you do with Sale. The Sale did what I expected him to do.
Oh, see,
like if he said he's right, because a lot of people kept saying, you know, he's not right. And yeah, he was messing with people with the belly button ring. So.
I don't mind the 2 runs, but you got to get more than that. When you've had an extra day, when you've had extra rest, and if there's more going on than what we know about,
yeah, but he's had issues since the beginning of August. You know, I mean, that's pretty good.
This is game one of the World Series. Whatever you have left, this is the time to leave it on the mound. And you got to give me more than what was the official line, Beto? 4+?
Yep. Last night, giving up 3 runs.
Yeah, but the pitch count was high through 3. And that was the problem.
You got to
now they start looking at the pitch count.
Game one of the World Series, you got to go deeper. I know Kershaw didn't go much more.
Kershaw had no.
I didn't think either one of them was very good.
Velocity was down with him, man.
And the way he pitched, obviously the pitch count is what, as Zoe just said, that's what forced him out. But you got to be better earlier on.
Like when Sandy Leon gets that type of hit
so that you
can right
go deeper, you can go deeper than that. You had Eduardo Rodriguez in the game last night. Now it worked out, but is that was that your perfect game plan for game one of the World Series?
No, you're lucky you had the lead. You're lucky you had an 8-4 lead. And I think Kimbrel's lucky, and it gave him the ability to get in there and get some confidence and just, you know, sort of mow 3 people down. You know, people are giddy about Kimbrel, but, hey, you got to take that. That's why I said it before, man. I want to see Cora make that decision in a tight game in the 8th, and you're up against it, and can I bring Kimbrel in for 5 or 4 outs? That's what I'm excited to see.
Well, I guess the good news is the velocity seemed to be back. It wasn't 98, but it was 96.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's about average for him, but I also think, what was his average last night? I had it here. Hold on. He averaged 94 on the 4-seam fastball. 93.9 exactly, if that's what you're looking at. So it looked like he had some of that velocity back that he'd been lacking, but I don't think he was great. He threw a lot of pitches, as you said, and I didn't think that the guy on the other side was all that great. And Clayton Kershaw, so much for the pitching duel last night, for the great pitching we were going to see. I didn't think either guy was at their best. I thought that was pretty obvious early.
Those days may be gone, bud.
No, I don't think they are.
I don't know. I think managers are quicker to go to guys, go to bullpens earlier, and that's the way they're going to manage.
Not
that's
if they're pitching well, they don't.
Yeah, but they're not pitching well. I don't know if they have the fortitude or the balls to go that deep.
You think Chris Sale's right?
No, I don't.
No, he's not.
No.
He's not right. Chris Sale, when he's right, he's not getting pulled after 4+. And last night, he almost got pulled after 4 innings.
I almost thought David Price could have given you another inning last week. It's Cora, like they're an inning ahead of it.
Cora almost did not bring him back out for the 5th.
We consider a lot of stuff throughout the game. At one point, we were going to take Chris out, you know, after 4. But then I realized that it's a 7-game series. And for how good our bullpen has been in October, our starters, you know, we need them to go deep into the game. And then he walks Dozier. We went to Barnes.
Almost thought about not bringing him back out. Zach is in the car. What do you got, Zach?
So I called yesterday to make the argument that when the Red Sox win the World Series, their organizational success will exceed the Patriots' 5 Super Bowls.
Yes.
And I didn't get a chance to explain the reasoning there. It's just simply a much harder championship to win. The Patriots, for example, they only have to win 1 home game I'm just they get the first round bye. They get a weak team in the first game, so they basically have to win the AFC Championship game at home, which they've earned, and I get it that they've had to earn that. And then the Super Bowl, whereas the Red Sox have to win three honest-to-goodness series. The only thing that kind of tempers my take is there is a salary cap in the NFL, which is, of course, more restrictive than the luxury tax in baseball. But four World Series in 14 years, definitely a greater organizational accomplishment than five Super Bowls.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree based on those reasons. Red Sox outspend almost everybody. Almost everybody. They're always in the top five of spending. So, disagree. Disagree.
Lucky.
Oh.
They're luckier.
You have a hole in the middle of your lineup? Oh, go out and buy yourself JD Martinez. Oh, Dave Dombrowski takes over? I need a pitcher. I'm going to go buy David Price. Oh, Chris Sale? I'm just going to clear out my farm system and take Chris Sale, too. Like, come on. There's a lot of talent here. A lot of talent.
I agree. So he's saying four in this time span would be better than the five Super Bowls?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Because he thinks
can't do it.
Baseball games are harder to win than football games. I don't know. Yeah, conversation for another day. Mo is in the truck. Mo.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Not much. I want to say this. I want to go back to what I said, you know, a couple of days ago about Chris Sale saying he's on the best team on the planet. It's clearly showing. Also, I think Alex Cora got a leg up on both of these series, the Houston and the Dodgers series, because he managed to get both of them. He's the assistant manager, but he managed to get both. I'll sit back and listen to you guys. Thank you.
I don't know what you mean, managed against both. He managed for the Astros last year.
I was thinking about this on the way in this morning. He kept mentioning it in his post-game press conference and you go back and you think, the Astros played the Yankees last year in the playoffs, so he kind of knew, even though it was a new manager, he kind of knew their personnel very well, and he played them so many times during the season. He coached for the Astros last year. He knew what they were going to do in certain situations, and he managed against the Dodgers in the World Series, so he kind of knows what they're going to do.
That makes sense.
It gives him a little leg up.
Yeah. That does make sense. I didn't know what he was saying. Like, manage for, what do you mean? I that only applies to the Astros. But no, he faced this team last year at this time. Doesn't Dave Roberts have that same advantage this series? He managed against the Astros last year.
That's right.
I know it's not the Red Sox.
Different personnel, though.
Yeah, different personnel. I get it.
I mean, he kind of was expecting that whole righty lineup, and that's why he put Pomeranz on the roster. He kind of expected them to save their lefties for pinch hitting appearances. This is what I was talking about.
I'll tell you what,
about
though,
preparation.
That bringing in that those lefties one by one as the innings go on last night and after Sale is out of the game, it's like a baseball clown car where you're like, oh, how many are these lefties you got stashed over there in this dugout? How many you got down there? Oh, do they give you a roster exemption? Where are all these guys coming from? It's one lefty after another. One after another. Cody Bellinger is a bench player for them. It's a guy who had 39 home runs in a season, and he's a bench player because he's a lefty.
This is why I don't know baseball anymore. I'm relearning baseball.
Like, it's Cody crazy. Bellinger, it's crazy to me. I'm like, this guy belongs in a lineup.
Yeah.
I know he didn't have a great year. He hit like 250, 260, somewhere in there.
Yeah, what Jackie Bradley
okay?
did.
Still had 25 home runs. The guy can still hit for power. And I look at Cody Bellinger as like one of the young players gone wrong, Jim, where Mookie Betts is the best of the young players in that he can hit for power, but he also can hit for average. You know what I'm saying? Because the launch angle is everything now. Launch angle, launch angle, launch angle. And with Bellinger, he is the definition of what baseball is becoming, which is all or nothing. Strikeout or home run. That's all he does. He strikes out or he hits home runs. That's basically what he is. But he's a bench player for them.
Unless he faces Erod.
I just hope that, yeah, exactly. I just hope that baseball doesn't become a bunch of Cody Bellingers, because then we're screwed. Like, this sport is going to suck if that's all it's going to be.
It in theory, it's like, oh, this is great. Strikeouts and home runs is awesome. But when you actually watch the 4 hours of it,
when you
not
see
that great.
It personified right in front of your face in a game, you say, I don't really love this. I don't really love the all or nothing approach. Hardy has our headlines. Dan Shaughnessy will be joining us coming up at 11 a.m. today.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox took game one of the World Series last night, 8-4. 4 hits for Andrew Benintendi, 2 for J.D. Martinez and Sandy Leon. 7 pitchers into the game for the Red Sox, which means Alex Cora.
But today was a whole team effort. That was cool to see. A lot of guys that they struggled towards the end of the season, and they did an outstanding job tonight. That was a very team-oriented win.
Game 2 tonight, Hyunjin Ryu gets the start for the Dodgers. David Price goes for the Red Sox.
Who starts for Dodgers?
Hyunjin Ryu. Bruins got a 1 win in Ottawa. Brad Marchand got in a fight. What was it? Hit on Grizzly you didn't like?
A little bit of a dirty hit on Grizz. And hard hit. And all we're sick up for one another here. That's all it was.
All right, road trip's done. Tomorrow night, they're home to play the Flyers. Celtics also get the night off. They take on the Thunder in Oklahoma City tomorrow. Headlines brought to you by the engagement ring experts at Long's Jewelers, with engagement rings starting at under $3,000. Long's Jewelers, help Boston and New England get engaged. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes or anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, The Sports Hub app.
Chris Sale is one of those pitchers that every time he's out there, it's kind of the way it used to look with Randy Johnson.
Yep.
He's not just trying to beat you. He's trying to make you look bad while he's beating you. His stuff is that good, and when he's on, he can wipe you out. Here is Kemp, fly ball into left, back at the wall, it is gone. And the lead is cut in half as Matt Kemp shoots one over the Green Monster to make it 2-1.
I see what you're doing here, Jim. What a troll job from Matt Kemp.
Why is it troll?
Because Rihanna's in this song, and Rihanna and Matt Kemp used to have a thing.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, she's been with everybody, huh?
I don't know about that. At one point in time, they were together. But how about that? That is not edited. That clip from Fox last night.
Kiss of death.
Oh, man. Chris Sale, he's like Randy Johnson. He doesn't want to just strike you out. He wants to make you look bad doing it. Crack! Oh, there goes the home run for Matt Kemp. Hop into the monster.
Yeah.
He's not just trying to beat you. He's trying to make you look bad while he's beating you. His stuff is that good, and when he's on, he can wipe you out. Here is Kemp, fly ball into left.
Oh, it's the Buck curse.
That's unbelievable.
That is brutal.
He's trying to embarrass you. He's going to do it again on this pitch right here. Watch how foolish he's going to. Kaboom!
It happens all the time.
Here is Kemp, fly ball.
I like lining up for that 21-yard chip shot field goal. He hasn't missed under 40 yards. Right. He's perfect. Right. 23 of 23 of the season. Oh, it's wide right. Yeah.
Kiss of death. I said out loud watching the game when he was doing that, I'm like, okay, easy. Easy. Bam! There goes the home run for Kemp. I'm like, of course!
That thing got
out. Of course! Of course he's going to hit a home run now. Because you got Buck going over and above. Yeah. I got to give it to both of them. They're both great broadcasters. Smoltz is really good.
Sweet catch.
Smoltz is great.
Fan.
He's really prepared. You can tell he puts in a lot of work.
Smoltz
and
is great.
Buck, I think, is the best one out there that we have in sports right now.
He's doing a game tonight, and then he's going down to Miami to do Dolphins-Texans and then out to L.A. for Friday night.
Let me preface this by saying I think these two guys are the best right now at doing baseball. And Buck is the best, period. They talk to you like you're an idiot because it's a World Series game, because they're trying to appeal to a broad audience.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard the sound.
And it's okay. That's their job.
That I was playing yesterday from all like the pre-game one press conference stuff. But it is baseball for people who will watch one baseball game a year. All the questions posed to it. I mean, there was stuff from Chris Sale like, you know, answering the question, what is the job of a starting pitcher? Like, well, I will go into the game and I will pitch as long as I can and do all that stuff. I mean, it is a lot of baseball 101 stuff, not only from the announcers last night, from the players. And they got to deal with this. I mean, how many more media people are there asking questions and covering this than normally would be? By a factor of 10, it's
probably
insanity. So, I agree, but for everybody who wants to call out Joe Buck, I've never had a problem with him.
Oh, I'm not calling him out.
No, no, I'm saying you're saying he's good. I'm like,
he's the best.
I think he's pretty good. It doesn't make, he doesn't bother me the way he bothers some.
No, I just think it's funny though. That was really
funny. Was just bad timing.
And there was some stuff last night where you're like, yeah, oh boy. We got to explain everything to everyone who's watching, who hasn't watched a baseball game all year long. Yeah.
I mean, think about
the
Bucks
point
time.
Of the year we're at, which means your team is good. That's what it means.
The same exact amount of baseball is being played since Bucks started doing this, but the games are taking an hour longer. He has to talk for an hour longer in the same time frame of a game. He just has to talk a ton.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like 25% more or 33% more than he used to have to talk.
And this is why I think Smoltz is so good, because he's got so much material. There's no awkward silence during this broadcast. There just isn't. And there used to be back in the day when it was McCarver and the games were an hour shorter. There would be some times where there was silence and you were just listening to the game. Smoltz is ready to go with something to say about everything.
And he knows the current storylines with each team, too, like to a T. Everything he said about the Red Sox was right on the money.
Yeah, for a former player who's now in broadcasting.
It's not very entertaining.
A guy who doesn't need to be doing it, by the way. Right? Like, John Smoltz doesn't need this. He's doing
it's
it
like
because...
It's like Heck.
Yeah, Heck doesn't need this. But I would say Smoltz even more so, because he's more recent and really got to dip into that big-time money in baseball that, you know, wasn't exactly happening during all of Eck's career.
If you could put Eck in the booth for entertainment value with the Smoltz knowledge and the stuff, that would be the perfect pairing.
Don't do that.
Because now it's not really entertaining. The broadcast isn't entertaining, but Eck would add that along with the baseball stuff.
617-779-0985. Alan's in California today. Alan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
It's desperation time here in L.A. They're talking about the 88 Dodgers, Kurt Gibson, Oral Hershiser. And the other guy comes on, he says, this is on AM 710, he says, aren't there just signs, like everything this manager does just seems to turn out perfect, and so it is desperation time out here. By the way, I'm looking at the surf here at C Street in Ventura. It's amazing. I'd like to get out there.
Okay.
Yeah, watch the sharks.
Get right on there. Well, it's like 40.
It's
driving
not just
in a car.
Me. It's just like, me. I was going to get out of other people.
Driving
too.
In
like
a car, there's waves. And like, you guys are in a radio studio in cold Boston where it's nasty right now. And I'm in Ventura looking at the ocean. And man, I'd like to go surfing right now while I'm calling your show.
And by the way, just from what you relayed of that show on 7:10 a.m., I think he said, they don't sound like they're wrong. Sounds like they know what they're talking about. They're seeing the writing on the wall. Oh, this manager these guys got over there? You wouldn't believe it. The guy can do no wrong. How are we going to compete with that? And I would say, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to compete with that.
Like the guy that played shortstop for us in the 2000s? That guy?
What guy? What?
Cora.
Oh.
He played shortstop for the Dodgers. He's another guy.
Who? I thought you were talking about the Reds. I'm like, what? Jim and Zoe are mad at each other today.
No, we're not.
They're squabbling a little bit.
We're fine.
No, now I know Zoe's just mad in general. He got pissed at that caller, too.
I think he pissed
at him good.
At all.
Driving past the beach.
Does he feel... Hardy,
wait, you didn't get mad at him?
Hardy.
Mad at him? No.
Does Zoe feel edgy today? Does Zoe feel a little edgy?
Not edgy at all.
On edge.
There's
on
a,
edge.
There is some edginess present. Okay? I'm not going to assign it to anyone, but there's a little edge, but I think it's fine.
Yeah. Totally fine. Good to go, bud.
There's tension and then there's dysfunction. This is just
a little bit of tension. This is
just tension.
This is, of course,
it's
not.
Most functional show on these airways.
You worked together for a long time, right? How long have you been working with Jim?
A long time.
How many years?
Long time. Like Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
Like Brady and Belichick.
I know. How many years?
I don't know. 14?
See? You worked. It's just tension.
Yeah.
This happens every time the Red Sox are in the playoffs. Every time. Every October, the Red Sox are in the playoffs.
Chip gets mad when I have events that coincide with his Red Sox games.
You're not supposed to bring up the past.
And Zoe's supposed to change Zoe's schedule.
When you're working through your problems, you shouldn't bring up the past, Jim. And didn't you two
previously agreed to events that Zoe all of a sudden is supposed to not go to because, God forbid, the Red Sox are.
There we go. Let it out.
Because there won't be another Red Sox game like tonight.
Get it all out, Zoe.
It's just like, wow, there it is. You know? Yeah.
You know what's amazing about Zoe's schedule, though?
Why?
He always never has something to do when David Price pitches. He's always in front of his TV to watch Price and play.
It's always like
every
isn't
time.
It's convenient.
Because it's always like the second one.
Yeah.
Because you're never the front guy. Convenient. You're right. Because David Price like always pitches during the holidays. It's like during 4th of July week. I'm on vacation. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Dan Shaughnessy will join us coming up at 11 a.m. We'll talk to Brad Stevens at about 11:20, right? 11:20 is his scheduled time. That's when we will talk to the head coach of the Celtics. All of that on the way.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's in Patriots correspondent, Sports Exchange, and Maven. The best Patriots coverage in the business coming to you outside Fenway Park before game one of the World Series between the Red Sox and the Los Angeles Dodgers. One interesting Patriots connection is Bill Belichick was asked to do the voiceover for the intro to the game tonight, and Belichick said he felt honored. He's always been a big baseball fan, watching the game earlier this summer with Tony La Russa. So Belichick's excited for the World Series as well. The coaches also seem happy with the increased production of Derek Rivers, who played 24 snaps on Sunday. So that's something to watch going forward. That's all for here for now. This is William Bendington, Patriots correspondent, Sports Exchange, and Maven.
That's a hard out at 45 seconds there on those videos.
It's my man. William, right there.
William Bendington on Jersey Street last night, reporting live outside Fenway Park on his Twitter feed.
Hardest working guy in the business. He was a one-day trip into Chicago in the morning, did the game, flew out at night. He was at Dunkin' Donuts live the next day, giving you another breakdown. And there he is right there. A little preview to the game one there at a World Series outside Fenway Park.
On Twitter, at Patriots Maven is where
you can give him
a follow.
That's my man. I can't get enough of it.
He's telling you what we found out last night, which is Bill Belichick was going to be in the video.
Yep.
That opened up the broadcast on Fox.
Hey, all that Derek Rivers stuff. He dropped that little Derek.
Yeah, Derek Rivers
just
nugget.
Just to mess with me. Like, now I got to start. What? Did I miss something with Rivers?
Apparently you did.
Now
pay attention.
Maybe somebody dropped him a nugget.
Pay attention there.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear last night Bill Belichick in the open on Fox.
How do you make history? You win championships. Not once, not twice. You win again and again.
Impossible dream revisited. The Boston Red Sox are the world champions.
Everything you do every day is about winning.
The Dodgers, champions of baseball.
The Red Sox are world champions.
There are few organizations in history who've created a tradition of winning. Here are two from two cities that have experienced success in every major sport.
The greatest company in Super Bowl history. Here's where they come.
The players have changed, but the commitment, the ambition, the goal has not. It's been like this for more than a century. These two teams now play for a ring, a championship, history. The Dodgers, the Red Sox, in the World Series on Fox.
Bill Belichick. That's cool.
Okay, I didn't see it.
First of all,
do they show him on camera?
No. He's just narrating the video. The video aspect of it was great. There was great video and historic moments, sports wise. Boston championships, LA championships. It was great.
Here's the problem.
Visually, it worked. The music worked.
No, the music didn't work.
Yes, it did.
I don't think the music worked.
Oh, it totally
did. Music's terrible.
It's too much noise.
The
narration sucked.
The music was more than.
Let me just put.
No. There was too much noise over the reading.
Let me just be clear.
I think that was intended, Zoe.
In case anyone misunderstood me, Bill Belichick, not good at voiceover work.
Well,
amazing football coach.
Did you hear the Normandy stuff?
Best ever.
Did you ever hear him do the
I did.
That's
probably more appropriate for his tone.
Do you think they should have given him I guarantee this is what happened. They probably put him in that room that we do the show from down there, handed him a script, and said, go ahead and read it without giving. The music, you know,
this
put the headset
not
on.
What he does. This is not what he does.
I don't think he sucks at it.
Do you know what I think we need to do?
I think they rushed
we
him
We all need
it.
To give it a try, Hard. Yeah. It's what it needs to be.
We can do that.
We need to pull together that script that he read, and we each give it a try.
Here's my issue with it. If you're just watching it, if you're in St. Louis, you're watching the World Series, who is this guy talking? Because it doesn't even sound, we know it's Belichick.
It does say his name at the beginning of it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's his name is on the screen.
Okay. Well, that helps. But it's but not like he's not got a distinctive voice.
Right. It would have been cool to have Marky Mark do it in his Boston accent, his fake Boston accent.
He does have a distinctive voice, but he's doing, I'm doing an announcer voice.
Yes.
So.
He was misled, I think.
Misled?
Well, I think, you know, you have a hand. Somebody from Fox is in with him and has set him down. This is what we want you to do and read it this way. You know, okay, I like
you know
that.
What?
We'll try it this way.
I would have, yes.
Then why
not
you,
misled.
You don't take one. You don't take one shot. You know what I mean?
No.
Bill was probably afraid to tell him that he needed to do it a little different.
Or maybe he didn't. Bill told him, why don't you go pound sand? You got one shot.
You think it's Colin's fault?
Who?
No. You think it was Kevin?
No, Kevin.
Kevin wouldn't have the balls to say
Fox. Someone from Fox.
To him. This is on Fox. This has nothing to do with Kevin Collins. Kevin's just doing down there doing his job and do what he has to do.
Yeah, but if he's down there engineering, so you think someone from Fox showed up and was present for the
recording?
Well,
if they didn't, I would
sure would hope so.
Get what you're looking for.
I don't know.
Swing and a miss.
I'll find out.
And I would say, the music might have been lower initially, and then when they heard the read, they probably jacked it up a tad bit.
Yep. Yeah, it's too much. And I'm like, whoa.
I love the music. I thought the music selection was perfect. That was
you like
great.
The Stones.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? Yeah. Who doesn't like the Stones?
I just didn't.
Who do you
give
like?
Give me something with some.
Well, what do you like in this
you said
world?
You work with me for 3 years now. Come on.
Beatle, I like that song. And I didn't like I like the Stones. And I like that song. I didn't think it was right for that. Give me something with some drums to it. Something with a little meat to it.
Who? That's the who.
I know. I'd rather have that there. Yeah. Like, that's an obscure Stone song, isn't it?
It's not obscure. It just...
It's an odd choice, right?
They have the energy I think they needed for that. No, they need to do Hot for Teacher.
Yes!
No, it doesn't have to be Van Halen.
See, I dig this song. Then you have the Red Sox bullpen out there. Playing the drums.
Keith is in the... Where are you today, Keith?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Nottingham.
Nottingham, not Noppingham?
Nottingham.
Notting Hill? Hello, jolly old chap.
There's a good travel bookstore there.
Noppingham.
Did you have your tea yet?
Yes. Good spot.
Good travel bookstore there you should check out. Yeah. But don't ask for the new John Grisham thriller.
Go ahead, Keith.
Why would you smoke the kitty foul?
I was calling about the guy that called earlier. Who said that Red Sox winning 4 championships, they haven't won it yet, even though I do believe they will.
Good call.
You think that guy didn't know that, huh, Keith? Come on.
Good call, Keith.
He had called yesterday and said, if they win, he knows. He wasn't saying they won it. What do you got there, Hardy? What are you looking at?
I'm getting information on Bill Belichick's voiceover.
On who recorded it?
Kevin.
Well, that's not his job. It's not his job to say, Bill, I think you should do it a little differently.
Okay, but I'm just...
Like I said,
I'm going to defend him.
I was putting the theory out there. It's like, no, he didn't do that.
This ain't on Kevin.
He did do that.
It's not on Kevin.
It's not his job.
Did they give him the piece that was going to be played?
Did they tell him what style they wanted from Fox?
I'm asking him right now.
Ask him if anyone was there from Fox.
All right.
And if no one was there, then I will agree with Zoe that he was set up for failure.
Yeah.
Is what he was set up for.
Just
feels better than
that. Oh, that sucks then. Fox.
What'd he say?
Do your job, Fox.
He says, I felt like they used
lazy
the wrong music.
Fox.
And
that's
the
lazy.
Level.
That is lazy.
Yeah. It's lazy by Fox.
Not on Bill.
Yep.
Nope. That's it.
Thank you.
I'm already here. 20-minute ride. Half-hour ride.
I was right. Called it. They sent him down there with Kevin. Nobody from Fox. They just sent a script.
That is lazy. In a dark room with a piece of paper. That's the worst
thing. And
lazy. How many people are on the payroll at Fox? Like, get in the car, drive down there, and get it the way, explain it to him, play it for him, get him in the mood.
Yeah.
It's hard to narrate something you don't hear. You don't know what it sounds like.
Yeah. I've been going through that myself, narrating all these craft pieces every week. I'm like, I got to hear this.
And
got to hear things.
Kevin does a lot of recording. I'm not gonna like say who he does for what, but it's like pretty much anyone's in that building, whether there's audio books. Think about people who have written books and are doing audio
stuff. Tom Brady.
Does a lot of stuff, and a lot of it comes out. Look, the Belichick thing did exactly what he was supposed to do, but without knowing what the piece is supposed to sound like. How do you direct him any differently? That's not Kevin's job anyway.
It's not his job, and how would he know?
Yeah.
And in a different type of piece, I think Belichick sounds good doing it that way, but it just...
Yeah,
it
like the other thing that he narrated.
Yeah, so the Normandy Beach
Documentary.
Phenomenal.
He's perfect for that.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
The Dodgers...
the Red Sox in the World Series on Fox.
I can,
you know what?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not, it's not fair to him. It's
the
not, it's
the
not
end is not terrible.
It's not,
the
no.
end's better than the beginning.
Yeah, the end. He finishes strong.
I still say wrong choice on the music.
I agree.
It's just acoustic guitar. Yeah. Why are you playing it? Why don't you play James Taylor underneath it?
If you're a Charlie Joe baseball fan and you hear that music, does that get you going right before the game?
No.
That was a problem last night. Taylor. Problem.
Problem.
Is it on live TV?
Has he become a problem?
He's become a problem. This isn't him. Not, again, not his issue. Hey, kids. Watch baseball.
Yeah.
All right, I will. Who's doing the anthem?
Here's James Taylor.
Hey, look, there's an old Stephen King sitting over there. There's Joseph Abboud.
Stephen King can do whatever he wants.
Dan Shaughnessy.
Leave Stephen King out of it.
Is standing by. He will be with us in our Town Fair Tire studios. We'll get back to talking about the game itself next.